Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I want you to understand today that it's not about what you can see with your physical eye. When you look at the situations of your life, I can almost guarantee you that what God wants to do is going to be defied by what you see in your life. But I'm here to remind you of what God has done in the past. Maybe there's people in this place that you haven't experienced the work of God in your life. You don't know if God can do these things, but you're in a house with people that have seen the work of God that we're singing about. It's not just words on a screen. We've seen it. We've seen people raised from the dead. We've seen sicknesses gone. We've seen families put together. And so I'm praying that right now your mind and your heart would be open to what God wants to do in this place today. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to take your attention to the book of Joshua, chapter number 14. And verse number 6, Joshua chapter number 14. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite came and said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.'" Skipping to verse number 12. "Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spake in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." I want to preach today, give me this mountain. Would you ask the Lord to put faith in us to hear what he's saying today? Jesus, Lord, I'm asking that you would help, oh God, your congregation to have faith, to believe your promises, God. In the name of Jesus, I speak against discouragement. I speak against blindness of mind and heart. Let there be an enlightening, oh God, of the understanding of every individual in this house today, to understand the breadth and the height and the width and the depth of your love and of your purpose, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we bless your name. Would you clap your hands to God right now? I'm clapping my hands to you, Jesus, because you, oh God, are great, because you are strong, because you are faithful, because you are able. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can be seated in the house of God. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers that are in the house today. We're thankful for every father. And at the end of the service, in the entryway, they'll be giving a gift to you as a father. Just a small token to let you know that we care about you, that we love you, that we honor you as a father today. So here we find that God had promised to Israel, to the whole nation of Israel. And I'm going to speak it because if you know it, you need to hear it again. And if you've never heard it, then you're going to hear it for the first time today. But we have kind of stepped in the reading today into the middle of a long saga of the promises of God. You see, God had given a promise to the man Abraham that said, "I'm going to make a great name nation out of you. And they also promised to Abraham that everywhere that you walk, where your feet walk, I'm going to give it to your seed after you. Your children after you are going to receive what you walk into. And for 400 years after the time of Abraham, the nation of Israel was growing. The people that were out of the lineage of Abraham were growing into a nation, but they were growing into a nation under pressure and under bondage. They were living under the taskmasters of Egypt, but the promise of God, it didn't die just because there wasn't a seeing of it. And ultimately, we know, most of us, how that God finally tapped on Moses on his shoulder by showing up in the middle of the wilderness in a fiery bush and saying to Moses, I'm sending you to a nation that's in bondage, and I'm going to lead them out through your hand into freedom. And so Moses went. He said, let my people go to Pharaoh. We see throughout the scripture the miracles that God performed of showing that he was powerful, showing that he was greater than the bondage they were in, greater than the people that put bondage on them. God was greater than them, and God brought them out with a mighty hand. He brought them out of Egypt, and he parted the Red Sea, and they went through on dry ground, and God destroyed all of their enemies in the Red Sea by rolling back the Red Sea and drowning the armies of Egypt. All of this because God had a plan. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, God repeated his promise to the nation of Israel. He said, I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. And so God will have this promise for the nation of Israel that he was going to give them an inheritance, that he was going to give them a land that in other passages was described as a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a place that was great, that was strong, but God took them to the Jordan River, and Moses sent in the 12 spies of Israel and said, I want you to go in to what God promised to us, and I want you to see if it's what God said it would be. And they went in and they found that it was indeed everything that God promised. But something in the hearts of 10 of those 12 got fearful because they saw that between them and the inheritance of God, between them and the promises of God being more than just a dream of the future, was what were walled cities, were giants and mighty armies and great obstacles and great resistance was in the way. And so when those 12 spies came back to tell the nation about the place, they said, you know, it is everything that God said it would be, but there is a lot of resistance between us and receiving what God promised. And I don't think that it can come to pass. They were filled with fear that they could never have what God promised that they could have. And so because of it, because of their unbelief, they did not get to go into that land. But God gave that promise that we opened with, that Caleb's looking back on. And God said, even though you these people are not going in, I want it to be known that Caleb and Joshua, they're going to receive the promise in Numbers 14, verse 30 and 31. except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. So Caleb was willing to fight for the promise of God. He understood that God was faithful in his promise to strengthen and to uphold him as he went into battle. So we're stepping into this situation. And Caleb is looking. This is 40 years later. So Caleb was 40 years old. And he's standing there and he's hearing the promises of God. And he believes those promises. And he says, we're well able. The scripture says that him and Joshua said, we're well able to go up and take the promise, to take the land that God wants to give to us. But the majority, they were fearful. And because of it, God said, I'm not going to let unbelieving people, people that don't take me at my word, are not going to step into my promises. And so because of that, none of these people are going in. But Caleb and Joshua, they believed, and so I recognize that they will step in. And the people that don't believe their kids, that they were afraid were going to die, they're going to be rewarded with the promise of God. But for 40 years after that, Caleb is waiting for the promise of God. He's 80 years old. He's 80 years old, and he's looking. And by this time, finally, him and Joshua have led another people in, and they have fought, and they have inherited the promises of God. Not because they just stepped in and put their hands in their pockets, but because they were willing to fight for what God promised to give to them. Can I tell you today, I'm here to encourage you today, but to admonish you that God can do anything, but God is not a God that is interested in waiting you hand and foot while you in unbelief or fear or doubt or whatever wait and say, God, I want you to prove to me by just doing what you said that you would do. But God said, I will give you the land, but you've got to step in and you've got to go in to receive what I have for you. And an 80-year-old man, 80 years old, looks at a mountain, and it just references it here, but he looks out a mountain that is filled with strongholds of walled cities with giants in them, and he says, give me this mountain. He says to Joshua, God promised it to me, and I'm just as strong today as I was 40 years ago, and so I'm looking at what God promised, and I'm saying, give me this mountain. And he wasn't asking for Joshua to hand it to him on a silver platter. What he was saying is, Joshua, will you give me your blessing to send me? That I'm not going alone, but I'm going under your blessing. And with that, he said, I will fight. And you know the truth of the matter is that he inherited what God promised. But I'm here to tell you, inheriting in the kingdom of God, inheriting in God's economy, is not sitting and waiting for a check to come in the mail, but it's stepping into the promise of God and deciding, I'm going to take God at his word and I'm going to move forward into his promises. Jesus is somebody that we've got to take at his word. When Jesus came for eternal life for all of humanity, he said in John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not to except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That's what I'm here to talk to you about today, is Jesus came to promise abundance of life. Jesus came that you and I would not just exist. We would not just maintain. We would not just passively live life. I'm here to tell you, I'll say it more than once today, because we've got to get this clear, is that God promises that if we'll follow Him, He'll provide for our needs, that He will always be faithful to us. But I'm here to encourage you today that the things that God promises are not about what is tangible. Yes, He'll sustain you with enough to feed you. He'll give you clothes on your back. He'll take care of you and give you shelter. But God's promises are not about what you can get yourself in this world. You know, the world, it can offer you all sorts of things, and I know that it comes up short. That's why you're here. Whether you've been serving Jesus for a long time or you're not sure if you're going to walk this road of faith yet, you're in this house because you've realized that the things the world offers you, even when it gives them to you, they come up empty, because physical things do not satisfy the heart. They don't give you peace of mind. You know what I've realized is that the things I fear, if I try to protect myself from the things I fear, you know what happens? My fear gets bigger. It doesn't get less. If I'm fearful of the water, the more I protect myself from getting into the water, the more fearful I become of water. The more I cultivate that fear, the next thing you know, you'll never take a bath. You'll only take a shower because you're fearful of the water. I know it sounds silly, but it's the truth of the matter. The more that in this world's economy, the more that we take and try to get what the world offers of status and physical things, and because we're trying to find security, or we're trying to find joy, the more we try to feed that, we find it's ever more escaping. I'll never forget hearing a man on the radio say this. And he was wealthy from what I could understand. But anyways, he said, it's like there's water everywhere, and yet I'm thirsty. He said that over national radio. He said, I don't know what it is, but it feels like there's water everywhere, water, water everywhere, and yet I'm thirsty. It resonates with me that I've realized that it doesn't matter what's available to me in this world. It doesn't satisfy what's going on inside. But Jesus stepped in and said, I have come that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. That's the promise of God. Jesus promised freedom from darkness. He promised us that we could have freedom. But this is what John 12:37 says. But though he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? If I just read that and didn't contextualize it, you would think I was talking about back in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel and God saying, I'm going to give you the promised land. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about Jesus and His promises to the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of God. And the truth of the matter is that we sang today about things that we have seen God do, and yet we can still get it in our heart and in our mind that we can't have the hope that Jesus promised. We can't have peace. We can't have joy. We can't have strength. But today, I'm here to pray and to encourage you that something would rise up in you, and you would become like Caleb, and you would say, God, you promised it, so give it to me. God, give me this mountain. It looks impossible.
impossible. It looks like there's nothing left of my life. But God, you promised that there would be abundance of life. So God, give me abundance of life. I refuse to not believe your report any longer, God. I'm going to believe what you promised. I'm going to believe that you are able to do everything that you promised that you would do. Jesus is the one that transforms lives. Jesus is the one that does all the miracles that we talked about in the song today. But you and I have got to believe the report. The kingdom has great benefit. Romans 10, 14 and 17 says that the kingdom of God, it's not eating and drinking. This is talking about the rituals that people would go through to please God. But all of that was tangible. But he said, what is really important? What is really the kingdom of God really about? It's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, God promised to sustain us in this life physically, but the true riches of God are the depths of God's presence and influence in and through our lives. I'm here today that something would stir in you. I know my place. I'm a pastor, so I'm not here to give you encouragement to be successful as a business person. I'm not here to even be a counselor for all your hurts. That's what God does, but I am here to get into your heart the word of God for you to understand that God is not willing for you to be on the sidelines of the spiritual realm, but something would rise in you and you would realize maybe it's been a long time since you felt like you were going anyplace. Maybe you've just been surviving and maybe that's all you were able to do. I'm not here to criticize. I understand the seasons of life. I understand that there's times, whether it's exactly acceptable or not, that there's times where we're in that place, like God says through the writer, and having done all to stand, just stand. And maybe you've just been barely there, but I'm here to encourage you today that something is rising in the Spirit as He's reaching for us and saying, I have a purpose for your life. I have greatness for you, not greatness of success of this world, but I've got greatness in my kingdom for you. I've got greatness of the influence of my peace and my joy and my righteousness to place in you. God is offering the gifts of the Spirit. God's offering peace and joy, the influence of the kingdom of God. God's offering relationship with God. He's offering relationship with Him that's deeper than just the shallow, superficial prayer here and there, but a depth of intimacy with Him. God's promises are spiritual, and He is saying, I am extending them to you. But something's got to get a hold of you and I that says, I am willing to fight for what God has for me. I got to say this over and over again. There are people that misunderstand the way that God works, and they think that God works in a way that we just stand somewhere or live somewhere and we wait until God just pours His glory on us and that he just sweeps us off our feet and makes us do everything and makes you a mighty person of God and makes you lay hands on the sick that they would be healed and makes you pray until you're in His presence with all peace and strength. But that's not really the way that God works. He works by invitation. He works by invitation, and He says, will you come and believe what I say enough to step into my way of life? Because in my way of of life, there is fullness of joy. In his presence, fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. I'm here with the good news that whatever is ailing your mind, your heart, your spirit, it's cured by the presence of God and the working of God in your life. But he's not just going to overtake your will. He's not going to just bully his way into your life. But something has to rise up like Caleb and say, God, give me this mountain. God, give me what you promised. Give me what you said is available. I believe what you said enough that I'm going to step into it. And I'm not saying, God, give it to me like here I am and I'm going to wait with my hands in my pocket. But no, God, go with me. Let it be, God, that as I step into faith, as I push beyond where I've ever been, that God, you will fight with me. You will fight for me. And you will give me what you promised that you would give me. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 11, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He says, yeah, I want you to understand that this man, John the Baptist, preparing the way for me, there's nobody greater than him before him as a prophet. But if you're in the kingdom of God, you're greater than him. But the next verse is key. And he says this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Passivity towards the things of the Spirit will exclude you and I from the spiritual promises. Oh God, help us, Jesus. You need to be here on Tuesday nights, every Tuesday, because the Holy Ghost is always speaking and taking us line upon line. And I'm going to unashamedly tell you that we're starting a new series this Tuesday called Out. I'm being called out. You've got to understand. We're going to get more into the nuts and bolts of what I'm preaching about today so that God can take us through the journey that never ends until we arrive in heaven one day. Of coming into the realm of his holiness, into the realm where all of his character and all of his purpose can be fulfilled in and through our lives. But we got to understand that it's an invitation that if we will take him at his word and step into it, then everything is available to a believer. That everything of the greatness of God and the peace of God and the strength of God, the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God. Oh, it's all there in his presence. God is able to work in and through my life and your life. But we've got to understand that we got to commit to making the journey. I'm here to say, is there anybody in the house of God today that is willing to have a spirit like Caleb that says, give me this mountain. God, there's a lot of turmoil in my family. But God, you said that you would give us peace that passes understanding, that would rule our hearts and minds through your Spirit. God, you said that we can go deep into your presence. God, you said that there's going to be a great move of the Holy Ghost, an outpouring of the Spirit on the city of Portland. But can I have news for you today that Portland Pentecostals will inherit that, but only if we have a Caleb spirit that says, give me this mountain. If I stay in my hole, hid away from the world, I will never impact the world. But if I step out and say, God, you have something great to do in this city. You have something great to do in my neighbor's life. And I'm not going to wait for the show, but I'm going to get in the fight and say, God, let it be done in and through me. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, but you, O God, man of God, flee the things and pursue these things. That these things we're going to read in our series at some point on Tuesdays, but it's iniquity, it's sinful things. It's the things that we all have in our lives without God, but we're to flee those things. But what also are we to do? Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith. Pursue love. Pursue patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you, in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without spot, blameless, until the Lord Jesus Christ appearing. The preacher said, you can have all the things of God. You can become intertwined with the character of God and the purpose of God that has victory and purpose for your life. But you got to understand, you have to pursue it. You have to run after it. You have to want it. You got to want it bad enough to say, I'm going to push through some things. I'm going to push through my guilt. I'm going to push through the discouragement. Not because I don't feel it in the moment, but because I know that God has something greater on the other side. I know that my failure of yesterday, I'm going to push through it. I'm not going to live by that any longer, but I'm going to fight the good fight of faith, and I'm going to lay hold on eternal life. Jesus, 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 would you stand in this place today? Would you begin to talk to Jesus? I got a few minutes, but let's talk to Jesus for a moment. Talk to him in your own words right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's beautiful right now. What is it that God has promised that you recognize He's promised, but you haven't seen it yet? Are you just dabbling in a little bit of God, but you want to be filled with His presence? Are you just getting by, but you know that God has more for you in your life? Would you talk to Him for a moment? What are those things that are resisting what God's doing in your life? Would you begin to push past them? Would you make the commitment right now? I'm going to push past the resistance. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We need you, God. I believe your promises. Your promises, I believe them, Jesus. There's a spirit in this world. It's called the spirit of the world. It's really the Antichrist spirit. And it pushes against everything that's of God. But it's not just pushing with unrighteousness, although that's very much a part of it. But it's pushing by speaking exactly the opposite of what God says. God's promises are true. But there's a voice of this world that would say, you are done. You are dried up. Maybe it's been 40 years since God gave you a promise and you haven't seen it. And it don't matter why you haven't seen it. If it's God's timing or your own stubbornness or fear or doubt is not relevant today, because I'm here to tell you that the door is open. I'm saying this in the Holy Ghost, that the door is open to a new place of authority of God in your life. But is it you that will say, give me this mountain? the character of God in His greatness and His righteousness. Can I tell you that if you've been struggling with the same sin in your life, it's time to fight through it. You can't fight it just by self-will, but you got to fight it the way God fights it. And I don't have time to go into the depths of that, but if you need to get beyond some things that you've just been tripping up over and over again, I pray that you would begin by coming to this altar and asking God to help you. But you better find myself or another brother or sister and say, I am tired of being overcome with this way of life, because I'm here to tell you the righteousness of Jesus Christ is a promise for a believer. And it's not something theoretical. Now, it's not talking about acting like you're good. No, He's talking about making you good. Not your own righteousness, but having His righteousness in you. But something has got to rise up in you and I that says, I believe your report. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 37, as we're coming to an end, the last scripture I'll read today. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You were made to overcome. Yes, you're going to fight your whole life, but you're not going to fight the same battle over and over, but you're going to take stronghold after stronghold in your own life. The next area that God wants to work in your life, it's time for you to say, give it to me, God. Let me find victory over it. I got good news for you. When you're born again, you're born a conqueror. You're born able to be a part of what God promises. Would you come and say, God, I believe your report. Would you come and say, I believe that you're going to work in my family. I believe that I'm going to be filled with your spirit. I believe that I'm going to be closer to you, that I'm going to have relationship with you, Jesus. I believe that there's fruitfulness coming in my life in the name of Jesus. That's if people are coming. Would you come? You're not saying that you're a bad person when you come. This is a place to say, God, let your word sink into my spirit, because I believe your report. Give me this mountain. God, I believe, and I won't stop until I see your promises.